Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Except today, actually, we are talking about maybe foods that you can have. We're talking about meal train meals, which, you know, if you're a friend of ours, a friend of the show, maybe we've delivered a meal train to you.
Yeah, maybe we have. Yeah,
maybe
check your porch or mailbox.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See if we've delivered a meal train to you. So I was responsible for researching this episode, and I did think for a minute about like researching the history of meal train as like a website, and then I was like, nope.
I was wondering the same thing, like, is this like a trademark term or what? Yeah, so I don't know if the meal train lawyers are going to come after us or, like, if they're going to come and dump, money train boxes of money on us for promoting their website, I guess.
Money train, was that paycheck lending or like a payday lender?
Oh, I think that's Money Tree. Money Train was a movie with... trying to remember who was in it. I did see it. It was like a fun, like dumb thriller movie from the 90s. Oh yeah, Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson and Jennifer Lopez.
Just
some like minor actors that you've never heard of.
Yeah. For those who maybe are outside the US or are not familiar with meal train as like a website or a concept, basically what we're talking about is the phenomenon where some people in need or the people who are going through a tough time, a bunch of friends bring them food and generally sign up to do this like on a certain schedule or whatnot.
So that you don't like have everyone converge on your house on the same night all with the same lasagna.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, like when you and I both had our first children, my first child, your only child, I don't remember there being a website for this. I know. I have two children now, Matthew. Isn't this weird?
It is weird, and like I'm kind of jealous. Does that make sense?
Well, you're welcome to borrow my second.
We are going to, for sure.
Anyway, so I really don't know when a website was created to make this easy because it didn't. I didn't have one when June was born. And I don't know if it's just because we were kind of the first of our friends to need meal deliveries because of having a baby. Do you remember any organized system like this when December was born?
No, I know people brought us stuff. I was trying to think if I could remember like anything specific that people brought us when December was born. And I don't. Like that was so long ago and it was kind of a busy time. Also, I don't remember what we said on the show like seconds after we finished recording it. How could I remember like which lasagna people brought to my house 20 years ago?
Well, I do remember things were brought to me when June was born.
Oh, I do too, because I brought at least one.
Yes. In part, I remember them because they were brought by people who are like still in my life and still cooking me the same delicious foods like you.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about in a minute. All of our friends from when December was born, like they are like...
They stopped being your friends.
Right. Like we put them on, they're canceled.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Each of them did a different bad thing.
A different bad thing. That sounds like, is that your next novel? A different bad thing?
A different bad things. It's a really good phrase, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so I kept a baby book for June, you know, and like many parents who keep a baby book, you know, I kept it pretty well updated for maybe the first year and a half of June's life. And then it's just got like a few plastic bags with like lost teeth in it for the rest of the years. Did you save December's teeth, by the way?
No. And you know, like since we're having like, which I don't regret at all. But like one thing I do regret is like, did you take any videos of June when they were young?
I took a couple. We had just gotten iPhones. And so I did take some. And I have a classic video, I mean, classic within our family, of June around age 2 that is beloved to me.
So I took, even though I like had the ability to take videos, we had a digital camera that could take videos. I took one like 5 second video of December when they were little, and that's all we've got. It is of them saying the word bump.
Oh, well, that sounds like a really good thing to have a video of.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to say is in June's baby book, I wrote down what people brought us food-wise and otherwise in the first couple of weeks, because I remember, you know, since we didn't have like an organized schedule for friends bringing us food, we did kind of have people just like calling the morning of and being like, can I drop off some banana bread or whatever?
Yeah.
And it all kind of arrived in a flood. And I remember just feeling, I don't know, I mean, a sort of a glow with feeling really cared for. So I wrote down a lot of the stuff, like for instance, Matthew,
yeah.
I have written down that you and Lori brought over Sichuanese beef with celery and some rice, which you also recently brought us upon the birth of Ames.
Yes. Yeah, I know. We made we made a double recipe both times.
I was going to ask, actually, because I was like, this is going way farther than a single recipe would go.
Yeah.
Well, okay, before we get into talking about things that we've received or cooked for Meal Trains, Matthew, do you have a memory lane of Meal Train?
I've just a little bit. Yeah. So definitely, I do remember bringing that over when June was born. Like, I have one memory of receiving Meal Train. Like, you know, I know we did get some when December was born, but like I said, I don't remember that very well. When I had surgery a few years ago and was pretty like down and out for down and out is not the right word, like down for the count for a week or two, like people brought over some really nice meals. I'm sure you brought something, but what I remember was friend of the show Becky Selengut made this twist on mapo tofu that was served with like a chawan mushi, like a Chinese equivalent of chawan mushi, like egg custard. And so you like spoon the mapo tofu onto the egg custard and eat it together. It was one of the best things I've ever eaten. Wow. And she's never brought it over for me again.
Wow. Wow. Well, it sounds like are you putting her on blast?
Thanks a lot. I'm putting her on blast.
How dare you, Becky? We haven't put anybody on blast in a long time.
I know. I was going to add to the agenda, and then I was like, no, we can't actually talk about this. Like, whether you want to put on blast anyone who brought you something you didn't like. Because I'm putting Becky on blast for bringing me something that was too good, and like I'm too lazy to make myself, and I have no reason to ask her to make it for me.
I was just upstairs talking to Ash and to a listener of the show, Sarah Atwood. Shout out to Sarah Atwood, who just dropped off a Meal Train item for us this evening, in fact. Anyway,
it really sounds like what you're leading up to is, and it sucks.
No, I was telling them, Sarah was like, what's your topic tonight? And I was like, well, actually Meal Train meals. And Ash for a second was like, I'm afraid this might backfire. Because I was like,
oh, right.
I was like, I feel a little bit nervous about talking about Meal Train foods that I've liked, because then like the people I don't mention, are they going to feel sad? But you know, the truth is not very many of my friends listen to this show. So
yeah, your friends don't listen to the show. And like, you can always just like blame baby brain. Like, you know, that's true. Just like, you know, my mind's like a sieve. Like I only remember these meals, and the other ones were great too.
Yes, that's great. I'll do that. And maybe that's just a disclaimer that I'm going to have you say for me, like you just did at the top of the show.
Okay. Like at the big disclaimer at the top of the show, like any meals that Molly doesn't remember, she liked those just as well as the ones that she mentioned.
That's exactly right. So, you know, are you done with your memory lane? I didn't mean to.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So I have to say that, I mean, I think my experience with like meal deliveries in times of need, let's say, dates back to when my dad was dying, like almost 21 years ago now. And that was the first time that Ed Fretwell soup entered my life.
Oh.
Which I was—
I'm sure you mentioned that in A Homemade Life, but I didn't remember.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I did mention it in A Homemade Life.
I feel like Ed Fretwell soup has always been with us.
I know, right? But anyway, yeah, Ed and Barbara brought over a big like Dutch oven of Ed Fretwell soup. And that was the first time I ever had it. And that was, I still remember meals that people brought over when my dad was sick. Like I remember some friends of my parents bringing over a salad that had shaved fennel, Kalamata olives, and like orange supremes in it.
Nice.
And what I remember about it is I had just started liking fennel and I had just started liking olives. You know, I was like 24. And I remember also being really impressed that like they had separated out the different ingredients for the salad so that the oranges didn't make the lettuce soggy. And like, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a minute, but I think this is like a level of meal train that I aspire to myself, like real thoughtfulness and care. And yeah, I feel like I had some really good early examples of what it means to cook for somebody who needs some help for a little bit.
Yeah.
Matthew, I was also going to mention recently when my mom had surgery last fall, my mom was really feeling ill because of the pain medications that they gave her.
Sure.
And it was nighttime and we, I think, had missed the cutoff for ordering from the cafeteria. And I contacted you and you made Charlie Brigham soup, which is a really simple like chicken broth noodle, like egg drop kind of soup.
Yeah. I'm never, by the way, going to remember that Charlie Brigham soup and Ed Fretwell soup are different things. And if you asked me to like say which one each one is, I would fail that test.
Well, it was a rainy night.
Yeah.
And you live like a couple train stops from the hospital where we were. And you came and delivered this delicious, you know, really like a good convalescent food for my mom. And it was the only thing that she could sort of manage to eat that night. And even though it wasn't a meal train, technically, I consider it.
No, I think it's spiritually it is.
spiritually.
And would you say that I saved her life?
I would say that. I would say that.
Great.
You know, hold on. I want to go back to this idea of spirituality because I think a meal train is a spiritual,
our show always does.
Yeah, this is On Being with Molly Weisenberg.
With Krista Tippett.
Yeah, I'm the new host.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes,
and that's a pretty big promotion. from Spilled Milk to On Being.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah. And I begin by asking always, Matthew, what is the spiritual like origin of your what is the spiritual dimension of your background?
Yeah. Oh, you're actually asking me that?
No,
I don't know.
I'm not. Okay. I messed up her opening question anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is either. It's something like that about
like, you know, like what was spirituality when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Which is what we talk about on all food and comedy shows.
Yeah, I think the answer would be it was matzah brie during Passover. That was it.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but what I was going to say is that I think that meal train is. I was going to say meal train is a state of mind, but meal train is.
It is.
I think it.
I have no idea what you're going
to
say. Next.
No, meal train is like a we try not to be like. Overly sentimental on the show, but I feel like this is maybe one of our more like useful, maybe community affirming episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that the meal train is like perhaps, you know, one of the few ways that we can regularly help out people around us.
Yeah. And I mean, it's only for some of us is the point to like beat everyone else and bring the best thing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, no, and probably this practice of bringing people meals when they're in need may have predated the mealtrain.com website. I'm not sure.
It's possible. It's possible. So, Matthew, other than Becky's egg custard mapo tofu, what kinds of things do you want to receive, do you think? If someone were cooking for you in a moment of need, what kinds of things do you think you'd want?
That's a good question. Really, I would like what I would like most is to like make it for easy for people and say just like bring me like whatever you feel like making. That it makes me happy to like feel like I'm not inconveniencing people, and like I'm definitely one of those people who like, you know, will hesitate to ask for help because I don't want to bother people. But definitely like, you know, bread based things are really good, like a big loaf of unless I'd like one time I had dental surgery and that really sucked.
Oh, I remember you ate a lot of pudding.
That was, Yeah, I ate a ton of pudding, which was good, but man, like that was the worst. That was like, you know, worse than getting major surgery because I couldn't eat normally. But so I would love like a big Grand Central loaf or Seawolf Baker's loaf or something like that, and like bread and sauce, like that's like some serious comfort food for me that I feel like it's easy for people to bring, like, you know, work up like any kind of, braised chicken with sauce, but also like if you just made some meat sauce and brought it to me, with some bread, that
just
would
with
be
a
awesome.
Loaf of bread instead of pasta.
Like, you know, maybe bring some pasta that I can like cook with the meat sauce, but also some bread, like just dipping bread into meat sauce. Like if like I'm in like a tough spot, that sounds really good to me.
Oh, I like that.
Lasagna, absolutely. You know,
what kind of lasagna? Would you want a meat lasagna? What would you want?
Like, I don't really like ricotta in lasagna, although I will eat it if I have to. So, but like any like non-ricotta lasagna, I'm all over it. Which I know is a very popular lasagna ingredient, but I'm like, you know, I'm looking after me here.
Yeah. Well, and the beauty of the old Meal Train website is that you can say like what you're not into. It's kind of like Grindr.
It is like that, yeah.
Like you can say what you're into and what you're not
into.
This
reminds me, is there such a thing, and like I did a little Googling and didn't get very far, is there such a thing as Tinder for friends?
I think there is.
You don't think there is?
No, I do think there is. Yeah. I think there are absolutely. In fact, I think that somebody I know, maybe my niece, I have a niece who is like around 30, and I think that she mentioned using an app like to find like-minded friends.
I want to like Tinder up some friends in the neighborhood and just like hang out
and eat sauce and bread.
And eat sauce and bread. Yeah, I realized recently, like, I don't really have, like, any friends, like, other than, like, my brother and occasionally you to talk about indie rock with, which is, like, my favorite thing. And, like, I am surrounded, like, I live on Capitol Hill. Like, there are, like, a million people, like, you know, 50-ish guys who want to talk about indie rock and, like, the people they live with are sick of hearing about it. Like, we should hang out.
Matthew, this seems like something that maybe our Reddit could help you out with.
Maybe so. Okay. Or just like, yeah, if you live in the neighborhood and want to hang out and talk and specifically talk indie rock, contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Wow, this is like a meal train for friends.
It's like a meal train for friends, yeah.
For your ears and your brain. Yeah. I like it.
Yes. Wait, is there there must be a podcast whose slogan is a meal for your ears.
Oh, sure. There must be. There must be.
We'll make a meal of your ears.
Yes.
I want you to bring what's easy for you, but bread and sauce sounds really good. Like, you know, any pasta that's going to reheat well.
Do you want any dessert or snacks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, talk to me about dessert and snacks, because these things are important and I think often overlooked on a meal train.
Bring me like a half gallon. It's not a half gallon anymore. They reduce the size. But like, you know, the quart plus size of Private Selection ice cream, any flavor is fine.
Okay.
And snacks, like nuts. You know, I'm going to need like a hearty snack.
Okay.
and I'm not just talking about like at some future point. I mean like in a few minutes.
Oh, okay. Do you want any baked goods or desserts?
If you're making them, I'm taking them.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, like if you want to make a pie, like I'm not big on cake, although I do like some of the snacking cakes from that snacking cakes book I do enjoy very much. But like if you're gonna make like a handmade double crust fruit pie and just leave it on your windowsill, like I'll come to you and steal it.
Okay.
But yeah, like I don't know, like, you know, I'm stumbling over this because like I really wanna be easy. Like that's what I'm gonna put on my friend profile.
You know, I feel like it's something that I'm trying to get a little better at. I mean, we have, so like I said, when June was born, we didn't have any sort of like organized and ongoing delivery of meals. Mm-hmm. And it has been so different this time around with Ames, who is.
Has it been better?
It's been incredible.
Yeah.
So we have a number of friends now for whom we have prepared and delivered meals, particularly after they've had babies, but you know, other things too.
Did you meet them on Friend Grinder?
I met them on Friend Grinder, which is where you take your friends, you put them in a blender, and you make new friends out of your old friends.
The end of the movie Fargo, that was a Friend Grinder scenario.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep. It's like a wood chipper, but for friends. Anyway, what I was going to say is, when the time came, like when we were getting close to having this baby, a friend said, I will set up a meal train for you. And we were like, oh my God, thank you. Because it is one of those things that feels weird to set up for yourself. Like,
sure.
Here, we need food. So we basically just had a friend do it for us using all these email addresses we gave her.
Yeah.
But we, you know, indicated how often we wanted food, what time we wanted it delivered. And I kind of looked at other people's meal trains to get an idea of this because I was like, what is normal? Like, how often can I ask for food? And we wound up asking for food every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Okay.
Since Ames was born on January 19th, we have gotten a delivery of food almost every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday.
That's great.
And it has been incredible.
And it's still rolling, like as we speak.
Still rolling. It's going to end. That. It's going to end. Actually, I believe it ends on the Thursday that this episode airs, March 16th.
How did you decide like when to end it? Like, do you think how long do you think you could have dragged it out before people got suspicious?
You know, I was hoping I could drag it out for like the first year.
Yeah.
But when I saw that other people sort of wrapped it up around 2 months, I thought, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you are getting to that period where, like, you know, Ames is not a brand new baby anymore. And like,
I'm back to work doing things like taping this podcast.
You're back to work doing things working in the podcast mines. And yep. Yeah, but like there's a really tough time, like after like the everybody's coming over to see the baby and bringing stuff.
Yes.
Phase, like that's really rough at like that, you know, 2 to 4 month mark maybe.
Well, it's been, so hold on. This episode is just going way deep on.
It really is.
But
we have
what
so
I
many
to,
segments coming
what
up.
What I wanted to say is that we bought a chest freezer on OfferUp for like $100 before he was born because a friend was giving us some of her expressed breast milk and we needed a freezer to put it in because our regular freezer is very small. And I have been so grateful for this chest freezer because, well, let's head into the kinds of things that I like to receive and that I have been receiving.
Yes.
And I will tell you about the ones that I have then like sort of frozen part of for later.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So for instance, Matthew, you mentioned lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of ours made us a 9x13 pan of lasagna and it was the ricotta based kind. But I got to say, lasagna is, I think, the perfect meal to give to someone.
Yeah, it's kind of number one.
It is absolutely number one because it reheats beautifully. You can eat it for days. I think we ate off that thing for like 4.5 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, lasagna, another friend made us a big batch of arrabbiata pasta sauce.
Yes.
And
did you dip bread in it?
We did not dip bread in it, but she delivered it hot with freshly cooked cavatappi pasta that was also still hot. And get this, Matthew, a little jar of the pasta cooking water. This is like next level.
Yeah.
So that we just sort of dumped all this stuff in like a pan and just brought it all up to temp together. And then she'd given us like some Parmesan.
So smart.
So smart. I would have never thought to do that.
How did she keep the pasta from sticking? Was
you
it
know,
oiled a
I
little?
I have no idea. She must have oiled it a little bit because, it didn't stick. But then again, the other thing is the sauce was pretty oily. And so, you know, even if we had just dumped kind of like a block of cooked pasta into a pan with the sauce, I think we would have been able to break it up.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing is, and I've never had anybody go to this level, her husband mixed us little jars of cocktails.
Oh.
Unbelievable. So right now, as we tape this episode, I'm drinking a Negroni.
Yeah,
that was
given
to us as part of our meal train. Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing. Yeah, I know we didn't get that. In fact, like nobody was drinking Negronis back then.
I would never, like, I am not that good of a meal trainer. Like, I would never do that. I mean, maybe now I will, but that is some next level stuff.
It is.
So that's been awesome because the pasta was sort of the gift that kept giving and it was delicious and the perfect texture.
Yeah.
Okay, Matthew, you have brought me Szechuanese beef with celery.
Yeah. So this, can I talk about this a little bit?
Yeah.
So this is a Sichuanese recipe where you stir fry some ground beef, like you know, not too lean ground beef with celery and like chopped celery. So it stays, you know, it's crisp because it's celery, but gets a little bit tender, and like some hot bean paste and a little soy sauce and vinegar, I think.
Black vinegar, yeah.
Yeah, black vinegar. And so it's got some acidity to it, some spice, and it's made to be a dish that you can eat with a lot of rice.
Yes.
It's not like you would think of as like a stir fry, you know, like, you know, stir fried chicken with some vegetables. It's more like a very tasty, intense relish to put on your rice. And it's great.
Yeah. And I think I tend to put more of it on my rice than is intended.
Oh, or that's
than,
fine. It's than your,
maybe might
it's your
be done
food.
In Sichuan province. But oh my God, it's so delicious. And it is one of those things where the flavors only sort of deepen and gel as the days go by. So I think that is an ideal meal train thing too, because you can eat off it for many days.
Oh yeah.
Soups. Oh my God. Okay. So for the first couple of weeks after Ames was born, some friends of ours would come and pick June up and take them to school.
Yeah.
Like a kid train. Two of those mornings, they texted and were like, look out on your porch, special delivery.
Oh, they traded soup for a child. That's a
exactly
good deal.
Right. Is there a super
That's a good
deal
for everyone. Yeah.
Really good deal. One morning, it was a paper bag with two large glass jars of lentil soup in it. So delicious for lunch. Another day, and this was like over the top, Matthew. It was a basket with a huge bowl of sourdough bread in it, still warm. And our friend Leslie makes homemade sourdough that is better than most bakery sourdough.
Yes.
And this was her homemade sourdough at like 8:05 in the morning with a stick of Kerrygold salted butter, a jar of peanut butter, and a jar of strawberry jam.
Wow.
I nearly wept. It was the most beautiful sight.
I want to make reservations for the 8:05 sourdough.
Right?
Yeah.
It was incredible. I would have never thought. I love that you mentioned bread as sort of something you would want to receive on a meal train. Bread and comforting things to dip it in. Because I could not believe how much just like creature comfort I got out of this freshly baked bread and salted butter.
I mean, it sounds like it's kind of warm. It's warm. It's round. It's got some heft to it. It sounds like this loaf may have been better than the baby.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Okay. Don't tell the baby.
Okay. I won't record that part. This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on Masterclass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
If you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
A couple other things that I want to mention that I think are standout things to give somebody for a meal train that we have received recently. We got a really good batch of white chicken chili from some friends. White chicken chili with cornbread muffins. And I'm pretty sure they were like Jiffy muffins because they were so good.
Oh, yes. Of course.
That was fantastic and lasted us for multiple lunches. Another thing was, so there's this recipe on Smitten Kitchen that is for ginger pork meatballs.
I'm looking it up now.
That are, I think she calls them ginger pork meatballs in coconut broth. And basically you make this coconut milk broth that has turmeric in it and some Thai chilies and basil. And you cook these pork meatballs in there that have a lot of fresh ginger in them. You eat it with rice. And it also is one of those things that gets better as the days go by. It makes a huge batch because you start with like 2 pounds of ground pork. And some friends brought this to us. It's something that I had made many times, and some friends brought it to us. It was even better when somebody else made it.
This sounds so good.
Oh my God, it's so good.
You put on here that someone brought a big block of cookie dough.
Oh my God. So when I went to pick up June one day at school, this woman who I actually don't know very well, our kids are in the same class, but we don't know each other very well. She handed me a bag. It was like a gallon-sized freezer bag. And in it was like a block of something heavy. It was a human head wrapped in parchment. And anyway, she had written in Sharpie on the Ziploc bag, and it said, oatmeal chocolate chip cookies, bake at 375, 10 to 12 minutes.
That's awesome. That is so smart.
Oh my God, it was so smart because we've just been like, for like a week, we baked off like a few cookies each night.
Yeah.
I would have never thought of that. So here's what I want to like really get to about this episode, which is that I feel like there is an art to cooking for other people, people who really like need
people who need people.
People who need people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I kind of feel like I hadn't been nailing it very well prior to being on the receiving end this time. And I think I'm going to do better in the future. I think this is up to my game because the truth is, in the past, I have sort of defaulted to like, I'll bring you Delancey pizza and salad and cookies, which I think people are excited about. But
I mean, I would be excited about that. Yeah.
But leftover pizza is really only tasty for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So it's not something that you can like nibble on for lunches for a whole week, like lasagna or Szechuanese beef with celery.
Yeah.
I also think that, I don't know, in the past I've done like Marcella Hazan's tomato sauce with butter and onion and like a bag of pasta.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think that's good, but I think that I would like beef it up in the future, like be sure to deliver a vegetable and maybe deliver dessert. Like the people who have given us homemade desserts, we have received a lot of muffins and quick breads and I never get tired of them.
That's great.
At least one serving of quick bread or one muffin every day and have
every
for
hour,
the past
on
6
the hour.
Weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like I want to be more generous in the future.
I would love to be more generous in the future. Yeah. Not like right away, but like sometime like far in the future.
Yeah. You don't have to make it be with your money. It can just be with the most
minimal possible gesture. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm about. Mm-hmm. I would be curious to hear from listeners about like what are the kind of traditions are there around this, like in other countries and other cultures?
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that it is a lot more sophisticated and has been for a long time. Like, you know, not that it is, you know, it has not been a thing like in the US, but I think this is a thing that there are, like, you know, traditions and strategies around in other cultures that would be interesting.
Well, and I think that, you know, I don't know if this counts, but, you know, I know that there are maybe I think either Italian or German traditions, like when you move into a new house, somebody brings you such and such. Certainly
right.
there are
That's
traditions
what I'm thinking, like,
around.
Are there specific foods that everybody knows are like the local meal train food?
Yeah. Anyway, but it's... yeah, God, I don't know how I'm supposed to start cooking for us again.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be tough.
I don't want to.
Yeah, no, I've been on vacation for 2 weeks and I'm kind of dreading getting back into cooking when I get home.
Yeah, yeah. I did make, there's a new cookbook, or it's probably not even very new anymore at this point, but it's called I Dream of Dinner by Ali Slagle, who works for the New York Times. And I made a really delicious, like, shrimp scampi stew out of that last week. And it was, like, the first thing I had cooked, like, cooked, like, had to go buy ingredients for in a month. And I had really mixed feelings about it. I felt like it just felt like a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for stew. Good for making. I'm sure that scampi was not skimpy. Oh boy.
Nice one, Matthew.
Should we move on to segments?
Let's move on to segments. Yes. Matthew, hold on. Yeah. So you're still in Tokyo while we're taping this.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which I don't think we've clarified yet in this episode. Yeah. What you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking?
I'm snacking on something that is seems to have gotten more popular here, but is definitely available in other countries as well. It is it goes under a few different brand names. The one I've seen is Waza Waza Kachiwade Senbei, and it is senbei rice crackers, but that have been crunched into pieces, like big, like kind of hefty chunks, before getting like brushed with soy sauce and toasted. And so you get more surface area, and so like more soy sauce flavor. And now they come in spicy, and the spicy ones are so good.
Is Waza Waza like a brand?
So Waza Waza means like deliberately. So the name translates is like deliberately crushed or deliberately broken. And it seems, as far as I can tell, like there are like a couple of different brands. But what you're looking for is not like the brand name, but a bag of like a cellophane bag of what are obviously broken senbei. It's not hard to recognize because it's like chunks of busted crackers. And the spicy ones are in a red bag, and they're like really good, like great chili flavor.
Could I find these in the US?
Yeah. So I have not seen the spicy ones at Awajimaya, although I've seen the regular ones. I imagine if they don't already have the spicy ones, they're coming soon. And you, Molly, I'm bringing you some from Tokyo.
I was going to ask if you would. Okay.
Yeah, including they have them in like individual size bags at the konbini.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Okay, Molly, what you snacking?
I've been snacking. In particular, I've been snacking at like 3 a.m.
Of course.
So, you know, I'm starting to figure out like why it is that we don't usually eat all night, and it's because we're asleep. When we're not asleep, it turns out we get hungry, and we is me.
Yeah, we is me, right.
We is me. And so I've been kind of vacillating between a spoonful of peanut butter, which is always satisfying, but I get a little tired of it, and whatever muffin or quick bread we have recently been delivered. And I got to say that the winner lately has been this pumpkin bread that was delivered by my mom's friend, Tony.
Okay.
Who I know I have mentioned.
Is this Tony 2 or Tony 3?
This is Tony 2. Tony 3 kind of fell off the face of the earth.
That can happen to a Tony.
Yeah. Anyway, she called it shaker cornmeal pumpkin bread with toasted walnuts. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's a pumpkin bread that has walnuts in it and cornmeal. And I would not have thought that the cornmeal would make such a huge difference. It doesn't make a huge difference in the texture. It makes a huge difference in the flavor. You get so much cornmeal flavor along with the pumpkin and the toasted walnut.
Yeah, this sounds good. I'm down for this.
Awesome.
And you know who would really love this is wife of the show, Lori, who loves pumpkin things and loves cornbread.
Okay. Well, I spent some time Googling the words shaker, cornmeal, pumpkin bread with toasted walnuts today and didn't really find anything that seemed like what Tony had given us. So
I mean, ask Tony for the recipe. Yeah.
I'm going to beg for the recipe.
You think it's going to be hard to get her to give it up?
I don't know. I don't know how she... I haven't asked her for recipes before.
Okay.
So this is going to be a real test.
Will you like check back with us on this?
I will.
Okay.
I'm feeling, I'm really glad that I'm talking about it today because I ate the last bit of it at 3 a.m. this morning.
Oh, yeah. You need to resupply.
So I need to resupply and I am glad to have memorialized it here while it's still fresh in my mind.
Yes. We need to set up a meal train for you now that you're going through this hard time where you're out of pumpkin bread.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Guess what? We have a breaking new segment.
Really?
Yes. It's called Beak of the Week.
Oh,
and it's about a bird.
Should I look something up?
Yeah.
So I can see it?
Google.
I found it. Oh,
you got it? Okay.
Man. Okay, Matthew, tell us about this and then I'll give you my impressions.
So the beak of the week this week, and this may be the only time we do this segment, or I might have one more next week, is the common kingfisher, Alcedo athus, which is called the kawasemi in Japanese. In our neighborhood in Japan, there is a wonderful urban park called Zempukuji Park. It's got a really fascinating shrine in it. It's got two ponds, and it is known like throughout Tokyo as like one of the best places in Tokyo for bird watching. And so you go to this park, and what you do is you look for like a photographer with a long ass zoom lens, or like a few like old ladies gathered around peering at something, and you like see what they're looking at. And the most beloved bird of this park that attracts many different kinds of birds is the kawasemi, which is a kingfisher, which is a name that I had heard, but if you'd asked me, like, what does a kingfisher look like and what does it do, I'd be like, I don't know, it probably lives near the ocean and it catches fish. No, it lives at this pond, and it is a small bird, like smaller than a pigeon, like kind of between sparrow and pigeon size, kind of like robin size, I guess.
Okay.
And it's got a big head and a ridiculously long, sharp beak and beautiful coloring. It's a very silly looking, beautiful bird. And like, it is like a kitten in the sense that it is small and cute and programmed to kill. Because it will perch on a branch above the water, peering down. And when it sees a fish, like a minnow sized fish, it will like shoot down toward the water. And it's not like it's diving. It's more like it's falling like kind of butt first at the water and like dives a few inches, snatches this fish and zooms back up to the branch and starts eating it. And apparently it always eats them head first. It's just a remarkable creature.
Yes.
And everywhere I go now, it seems like I fall in love with some local bird that is not particularly rare.
I love your enthusiasm for this bird, and I think it is well deserved. I mean, we should say that this bird appears to be to have a blue back and blue wings and an orange belly, which I think seems very unusual. And then it has this long beak. And the thing with kingfishers is, well, I've wanted to see a kingfisher for a long time, Matthew. So
yeah.
I share your enthusiasm. We have kingfishers here in Seattle, belted kingfishers,
yes.
which I have yet to see.
Yeah, but I haven't seen one either.
What I've always thought was so endearing about them is their heads are huge.
Huge head.
For their overall body size.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love that you've introduced this segment. Maybe introduced and closed it out on the same day. We'll just have to find out.
Yeah. I mean, another great thing, this is one of my favorite parks in the world now. I'd never heard of it before we stayed in this neighborhood. Like posted in a couple places in the park, they've got bird boards where you can look at figure out which bird you saw, because you're going to see some weird birds and you're going to want to know what they are. And the bird board is here for you.
Oh, the bird board.
Okay. Do we have any spilled mail?
We do. This is from listener Casey. And is this Casey McMackin?
Oh, I don't know. You want me to check?
I mean, I think the spelling of her name is unusual.
Is this someone you know?
And yeah, it is someone I know.
Yeah, it's listener Casey McMackin.
Well, hello, listener Casey. Here is the letter that you sent us. Matthew, I assume that was you whistling in an outtake of a recent episode. I am impressed. Any other hidden talents for each of you?
Okay, well, I mean, we're both really good at sax.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, is hidden under the covers.
That's but that goes without saying. I think my only hidden talent, like, that might surprise people, I mean, it's not because it's food related, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the show before, is that I know how to hand sharpen knives, like Japanese water stones. I don't know. Seems like it's the only like thing I know how to do with my hands correctly, I guess.
I thought you said you were good at sex.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. Those two things. Okay. But never at the same time.
A hidden talent. You know,
you can quilt. We know you can sew.
It turns out that I can quilt and I can sew. I can also
knit. You can garden,
knit.
But these things aren't hidden.
But these things aren't hidden. I can ride horses.
Yes.
I don't know. Are there things that, like, I don't have a good singing voice. I think everybody knows that I enjoy dancing.
Yeah.
I definitely can't do anything like, you know, touch my tongue to my nose.
I mean, I think
can't do stuff like that.
I do think, like, you know, like there's a difference between, like, enjoying dancing and being good at dancing. And, like, if Molly is very good at dancing.
Oh, thank you.
So I think that I think we're going to call that your hidden talent.
Okay.
I am not. Great. Like, I will happily, like, enthusiastically fling myself about. The way I learned at, like, you know, punk rock shows in Portland, Oregon, when I was a teenager, haven't progressed beyond that in terms of dancing skills, but Molly has.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. Well, Casey, thanks for writing in. Matthew, do you have a Now But Wow this week?
I do. So this is a musical pick, and this is an artist called Shalom, whose album should be out by the time you hear this. The album is called Sublimation, and the two singles that I've listened to so far are Happenstance and Soccer Mommy. And yes, Soccer Mommy is a song about the band Soccer Mommy by a different artist, which I
Wait
think
a minute,
is
there's a band
hilarious.
Called Soccer Mommy?
There's an excellent indie band called Soccer Mommy that I would also recommend, but this is a song by Shalom about how much she likes listening to Soccer Mommy, which I just love. So Shalom is a bass player primarily and writes songs on bass. She makes, like, super, like, 90s influenced, like, smart rock and roll that's a little bit dancey, and you can kind of hear the like bass playing influence, even though it's not bass heavy music. And to me, like, I think she brings a lot of influences, but, like, what I hear a lot of is, like, Throwing Muses, Juliana Hatfield 3, like, that kind of, like, smart 90s indie rock is coming through, and that makes me happy. And Shalom grew up in South Africa and is now based in Brooklyn, and her debut album Sublimation came out on March 10th.
Delightful. Thanks, Matthew. Well, I think that wraps it up for us.
I think it really does.
Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Molly has a newsletter called I've Got a Feeling that you can find at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Indeed. You can hop on our Reddit with other Spilled Milk listeners, and maybe you can find a friend for Matthew.
Yeah, maybe you can hop on other Spilled Milk listeners.
Hop on other Spilled Milk listeners. They're a fun bunch.
Yeah, it's a real hop on pop situation going on over there.
Nice. All right. You can do that at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
And until next time, we are feast. We are.
Oh my God! I can't believe we made it this far without mentioning a movable feast.
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. But just doesn't that seem like what a meal train is?
Yeah, I guess it is. Like, I don't even know what people like. Did Ernest Hemingway say that?
Feast.
But a movable feast, it's like a religious holiday term that like it's like a holiday that can fall on different days, right?
Oh, this
but
then, is a show about spirituality.
Oh God. Yeah, so like open your mind and just see what comes out.
That's what I do to come up with the closing joke. Okay, I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
Hang on, I'm saying goodbye to a kid of the show, June. Bye, Boo. Have fun. Will you close my door?
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.